Next case is 06-2293 and 2389-2390, City of Elyria, City of Avon et al. Versus Lorain County Budget Commission. Mr. Zagrins.
Thank you, Chief Justice Moyer. I'd like to reserve 4 minutes of my time for rebuttal. Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, the General Assembly and this court have established the fundamental principle of fairness and due process that any political subdivision in this state that's not a party to an appeal or other proceeding before the Board of Tax Appeals cannot suffer a reduction in its share of local government funds or revenue assistance funds as the result of such proceedings. However, that's exactly what happened to the four appellant subdivisions in Lorain County as the result of a 2002 appeal by the City of Lorain that was settled in 2003. In the new alternative formula that resulted from that appeal, replacing the original alternative formula that had been in place in Lorain County since 1984, the four appellant subdivisions in these consolidated cases before you bore more than half of the two reductions that resulted from that prior Board of Tax Appeals proceeding. They bore more than half of the $250,000 reduction of 2003 local government funds and revenue assistance funds among all the local subdivisions in the county, and similarly, more than half of the 1.7% annual decrease in LGF and RAF allocation among the local subdivisions for 2004 and each tax year thereafter, even though none of the four appellant subdivisions was named as a party in Lorain's 2002 appeal before the Board of Tax Appeals. Now, after 3 years of litigating this issue before the Board of Tax Appeals in these three consolidated appeals now before the court, which included a full evidentiary hearing that revealed no significant factual disputes, and where the jurisdictional issue was never raised or discussed until the last post-hearing brief that was filed by the City of Lorain 3 months after the hearing, the Board of Tax Appeals erred in dismissing these appeals for lack of jurisdiction due to a supposed technical defect in the notice of appeal. The board said that the appellants failed to comply with the requirements of Revised Code 5747.55C3 that requires appellants to name each participating subdivision they believe received more than its proper allocation and the exact amount in dollars of that alleged overallocation. There are two independent and sufficient reasons why the board's jurisdictional ruling constitutes reversible error. The first reason is that the technical requirements on which the board relied, 5747.55C3, apply only to appeals from the statutory formula allocations, but not to appeals like this one from an alternative formula allocation under 5747.53 for local government funds and 5747.63 for revenue assistance funds. This court, the Franklin County Court of Appeals, and the Board of Tax Appeals itself have all recognized and held that the provisions of 5747.55C3 simply are limited to appeals from statutory formula allocations and don't apply to appeals like this one from alternative formula allocations. Those cases, the prior case from this court that has so held, is Shawnee Township versus Allen County Budget Commission, a 1991 decision of the court. The 10th District has so held in Union Township versus Butler County Budget Commission. And the Board of Tax Appeals itself held that in the Village of Mogador versus Portage County Budget Commission case, a 1989 decision where the board held, and I quote, an appellate does not have to follow the appellate procedure provided in section 5747.55, where the appeal is taken from the adoption of an alternative method of apportionment, close quote. The board's decision in these cases failed even to mention its prior decision in that Village of Mogador case. Moreover, under the general appellate procedure provided by the General Assembly in 5705.37, which generally confers jurisdiction on the Board of Tax Appeals to hear appeals from actions by a county budget commission with which any participating subdivision is, quote, dissatisfied, close quote. That statute doesn't even mention, much less require, compliance with 5747.55 or any of those technical appellate procedural requirements that apply to appeals from statutory formula allocations. 5747.55 is a limited appeal provision. The second independent and sufficient reason why the board's jurisdictional ruling was, in our submission, erroneous is that even if those procedural requirements and technical requisites of 5747.55(c)(3) were deemed to apply to this appeal from an alternative formula allocation, the appellant's notice of appeal, which is set out in the appendix between appendix pages 34 and 117, were in substantial compliance with those requirements. And in particular, the requirement that the Board of Tax Appeals found lacking, but which is in fact substantially complied with, appears at appendix pages 94 to 97 in Exhibit G to the notice of appeal.
Well, substantial compliance, when you argue substantial compliance, that implies there was in some respect failure of compliance. And what specifically was that, and what do you have to say about that?
Justice Pfeiffer, I did not mean to imply by using the word substantial compliance that there was anything lacking or missing, even from the technical requirement of section 5747.55(c)(3). What I was indicating is that the court's jurisprudence in this area has not erected such a high burden of strict compliance. Rather, in the Austintown Township case decided by this court in 1986, the court established a regime of good faith substantial compliance as opposed to strict compliance for these requirements. But in answer to your question, we believe that the notice of appeal strictly complied with the requirements of C3. Why? Because it specifically identified the only subdivision that appellants believed was overallocated, and that was in column 3 of Exhibit G on pages 94 to 97 of the appendix.
And that subdivision would be
Lorain County, and specified the exact amount in dollars that the appellants believed were overallocated for the years in question. And that strictly complies with the statutory requirement, if it applies to this appeal, that the Board of Tax Appeals found lacking and dismissed on jurisdictional grounds, therefore. So even if that technical procedural requirement is deemed to apply to an alternative formula allocation appeal, the appellants identified each subdivision they believed received more than its proper allocated share, along with the amount of the alleged overallocation, which satisfies that jurisdictional requirement. Because the appellants identified the City of Lorain's increased allocation without naming the City of Lorain as an overallocated subdivision, we submit to this court that even if the appellants were wrong, as the board seemed to suggest in going beyond its jurisdictional ruling and reaching a merits-type issue, even if we were wrong in who we believe to have been over-allocated, that error in the notice of appeal cannot be jurisdictional. That's a merits determination. There's nothing in the statutory provision that says that the appellant's identification of the subdivisions whom they believe to have been over-allocated have to be correct, or that the Board of Tax Appeals must ultimately agree with that identification as being correct in order to satisfy the jurisdictional prerequisite. So even if there was a mistake made on the merits in the identification of whom appellants believe to have been overallocated, that does not constitute a jurisdictional defect in the notice of appeal, where appellants identify every subdivision whom they believe in good faith, again going back to the Austintown Township standard, whom they believe in good faith to have been overallocated and the amount of that overallocation. Therefore, we would ask this court to reverse the Board of Tax Appeals' jurisdictional ruling on this hyper-technical reading of Section 5747.55C3, which does not apply, according to the statutory language, to this kind of an appeal under the alternative formula allocation, and to remand the case back to the Board of Tax Appeals for proceedings on the merits. Unless the court has further questions, I would like to reserve the balance of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Zagrin.
Thank you, Chief Justice.
Mr. Sunderland.
Thank you, Your Honor. And the question here for the court today is pretty simple, and that is, did the appellants in this case follow the steps that were necessary in order to perfect their appeal to the Board of Tax Appeals and give the Board of Tax Appeals jurisdiction to consider this appeal at all? Now, this court has, through the years, repeatedly stated that appeals of local government fund, and I'll refer to local government fund and include revenue assistance fund as well, and similar tax appeals that are granted by statute must be strictly complied with. The standard is not some good faith attempt. The standard is strict compliance. And as an example, the Cincinnati versus Hamilton County Budget Commission decision of 1979, where the appellant failed to include the identity of overallocated subdivisions or amounts of overallocation because the Budget Commission flatly refused to provide them with any of that information. Certainly a good faith reason for not being able to have that information, this court said that's not good enough. The statute does not give you the right to articulate excuses for failing to comply. You must comply, and in that case, the Supreme Court affirmed the decision to dismiss the appeal. Now, I do want to correct one thing that Mr. Zagrin's told the court. He told the court that you have decided already in Shawnee Township and that the Franklin County Court of Appeals has decided already in Union Township that 5747.55 and all of the elements necessary to perfect a local government fund appeal does not apply to alternative formula appeals, and that is simply not true. Shawnee Township was a rather unique circumstance. Chief Justice Moyer, you were here for that appeal, and I remember arguing it. In that case, the Allen County Budget Commission made an allocation pursuant to an alternative formula. The question was whether that formula had been adopted in time or not. Shawnee Township appealed. The other side argued that 5747.55 didn't apply because it was an alternative formula, and this court said, well, since the alternative formula wasn't adopted in time, you're really talking about a statutory formula allocation. 5747.55 clearly applies to that. We don't need to decide the other issue. You can go forward. And that would be exactly this situation, too. How do you tell whether you're appealing from an alternate formula or a statutory formula? In this case, the appellants are challenging this alternative formula, you know, on one ground, on exactly the same basis that was at issue in Shawnee Township, that is, that it was not adopted in time. If that is the case, then the Shawnee Township analysis would mean that this is really a statutory formula problem. 5747.55 applies. You didn't comply. You're out. But let's back up for a step.
Excuse me. If I follow your argument correctly, you're saying that they're in essence claiming that the alternate formula was improperly passed, should have been passed under the statutory formula, and therefore the same appeal rules apply.
Well, actually, their argument shifts depending on where in time you look at it and where in the notice of appeal you read it. They stood in front of the Board of Tax Appeals and they said, we have two alternative formulas here. We have the 1984 old alternative formula, which is the one that the city of Lorain appealed, and as a result of that litigation, there was a settlement, and the subdivisions got together and adopted a new alternative formula, which we call the 2004, because that was the first tax year for which it came into effect. In their appeal, the appellants say, we want to kill the new alternative formula, and we want to go back to the old alternative formula, the 1984 formula. But that's not really what they're asking either, because the 1984 alternative formula gave the city of Lorain less money than the new one did, but they're not asking to take any money from the city of Lorain. And the 1984 formula gave the county more money than the new formula did, but they are asking to take extra money from the county, which is why the Board of Tax Appeals said you're asking for an impossible result. Under Ohio law, you have two choices. You have an alternative formula, or you have a statutory formula. You can't make up some hybrid in between, which is precisely what they're asking for. And because they were trying to make up this hybrid, the Board of Tax Appeals concluded, rightly so, that they had failed to properly identify the subdivisions that they believed were overallocated. If you look at the notice of appeal, it is clear that they believe that the city of Lorain was overallocated because it got more money in the new formula. But they're not trying to take any money away from Lorain. That leads to an impossible result. If you don't have an alternative formula, you have to go back to the statutory formula and allocate, and that's not what they're asking for. So when you take a look at the notice of appeal, it's a fairly simple look. When you identify the subdivisions that were overallocated or underallocated, since they claim to be asking to return to the old formula, all you have to do is look, what did they get under the new formula? What did they get under the old formula? Those that are getting more under the new are overallocated. Those that aren't are underallocated. That's what you have to put in the notice of appeal under 5747.55. They didn't do that, and that's the result of the Union Township case in Franklin County. I had the misfortune of being on the losing end in that case as well, and the court held that because we had made other decisions in that appeal, rather than identifying and trying to take money from the subdivisions that we really believed were overallocated, because we were trying to create some other sort of a result, we had failed to comply with the appeal requirements, and we were out. We lost on jurisdictional grounds in that particular appeal. So if they haven't done what's required under 5747.55, we're really left with the question of, do they have to follow 55 or not? And their argument is that, no, 55 doesn't apply, and there is another appeal statute, and they offer you two alternatives. One is either a combination of 5747.53 and 0.63, which is the section that defines how you go about adopting an alternative formula. Or independently, they say that 5705.37 gives them an independent right to appeal.
If we found that 0.55 applies, you argue that your client wins at that.
Absolutely. Point. If revised code 5747.55 applies to this appeal, the Board of Tax Appeals must be affirmed because the appellants in this particular instance, rather than identifying 5747.55C3 requires you to identify those subdivisions that you believed were overallocated and the amounts of the overallocation and the amounts of money that you're trying to take away from them, and they didn't do that in this case.
In what specific, with respect to Lorain itself?
With respect to both the city of Lorain and Lorain County, because you have to look at what is actually possible here. And what they're saying is, we want to go back to the old formula, the 1984 formula, which had been challenged by the city of Lorain before. And if you go back to the 1984 formula, it is a factual and legal impossibility for the county to be an overallocated subdivision, which is what they are asking for. It is just simply not possible, because if you go back to the 1984 formula, Lorain County gets 50% of the fund, and the new formula gave it between 47 and 48% of the fund. Since they're getting less money than you're saying they should have gotten under the formula you're saying should be adopted, they cannot be an overallocated subdivision. By the same token, the city of Lorain cannot be an underallocated or an even allocated subdivision because they're getting a lot more money under the new formula. And if you're trying to kill the new formula and go back to the old formula, you have to go back to the allocation in the old formula. You can't play games and try to create some other form of an allocation.
Is there some aspect of this that they believe they were foreclosed with respect to the city of Lorain?
Well, I read what their brief said, the brief said that they didn't believe, because there had been a settlement, they didn't believe it was open for reallocation.
With respect to Lorraine, but not with respect.
Why wouldn't that apply to any other subdivision? How can you say that we're going to go back to this formula, but oh, we're going to use the new formula for some subdivisions, since it was a settlement that included all of the different subdivisions in the county? And the result of the settlement was to create a new formula. How can you say that that settlement allows you to challenge certain subdivisions but precludes you from challenging the city of Lorain? The real reason was they didn't want to tackle the city of Lorain in this case, because Lorain had proven in the first appeal that the old alternative formula had never been properly adopted and had never been properly employed. And it was indefensible, which is why the subdivisions got together in the first place and created the new 2004 formula. But I do want to address what I consider to be the essence of their argument, and that is that they have a separate right of appeal under 5747.53 and .63, and point out to the court that those are not appeal sections. Those provisions define, if you look at 5747.53, subsection A is definitions. Subsection B is how do you adopt an alternative formula. Subsection C is what I call the small county exception to how you adopt an alternative formula, because there are different rules for smaller counties. Subsection D says it can be based on any kind of a factor. And by the time you get to the tail end, the last one says it can be appealed to the Board of Tax Appeals, but it can only be challenged for failure to follow the formula or for an abuse of discretion. Well, that's a standard of review. That's not steps to file an appeal. By the way, I would point out that this has never really been an issue. Every court that has addressed this subject in the past has automatically assumed that 5747.55 applies to both types of appeals, and nobody has ever raised the argument before. But if you look at .55, it says, thou shalt do A, B, C, D, and E in order to perfect an appeal. If I wanted to figure out how to perfect an appeal under .53 or .63, what would I look at? There's nothing that says when I would have to file it. Do I have to file it within 30 days, 60 days, a year? There's nothing that says who I have to name as parties. Do I have to name everybody, nobody, the ones I like, the ones I don't like? There's nothing that says how you serve it. There's nothing that says what you need to do to perfect it. All of those things are in .55. Combined with .37, and the two do work together as referenced specifically by .55. Now their argument is, so it's clear that .53 and .63 are not appeal statutes. And interestingly, when the General Assembly adopted both .53, which tells you that you can create an alternative formula, and .55, which talks about appeals, they did it in exactly the same bill in 1971. It's part of the same legislation. And I would submit to the court that it stretches credulity to say that the General Assembly carefully defined appeals from statutory formula allocations in .55 and then said nothing at all about how you appeal from an alternative formula if .53 was was an appeal section.
Let's come back to the .55. If we agree that we believe that's what applies, is it if they had named the city of Lorain as well as Lorain County as local governments that got too much, would they then be entitled to get to the merits before the Board of Tax Appeals?
No, they would still lose, because it is a factual and legal impossibility for Lorain County to have been an over-allocated subdivision. I mean, my theme that I was going to give to the court, and I started on a different point, was examine what the appellants do in this case, not what they say, because what they do is different from what they say. And I'll give you a couple of examples. First of all, they now say that .55 has no application whatsoever to the appeal. If you go back and you read the notices of appeal, and you read the notices of appeal that they have continued to file since the BTA's decision, all of those notices of appeal, which are in their appendix, say we are appealing pursuant to RC 5747.55. So in their notices of appeal, they're saying we are governed by this statute, and yet before you today, they're standing and saying we're not governed by this statute. In addition, they say throw out the new alternative formula, let's go back to the old alternative formula, but then they proceed to play games with who is being allocated what and who do we want to include, and that is precisely the problem that was fatal to our position in the Union Township case. The court said, we simply are not going to allow you to play games with allocations like that. You really do need to make an effort to name the parties that were over-allocated. This isn't one where you're going to try to select friends and not select others. Those that you believe are over-allocated are the ones that you need to name that you're taking money away from. And in this particular instance, it is just not possible for the county to have been an over-allocated subdivision.
But aren't you skipping ahead to the merits at that point?
Well, but that's one of their arguments on the appeal, is that they complied with that requirement. You don't need to skip ahead to the merits because they're asking, they included the 84 formula, that's in the materials, excuse me, the 84 formula, the old one over here, and they're asking to go from the new formula in 04 to the old formula in 84. You don't need to have a merits hearing to see who's getting more and who's getting less, and you don't need to have a merits hearing to see whether they're playing around and choosing one or the other in trying to select the parties that they want to take the money away from. Now, Your Honor,
let me
just try to
clarify this as best I understand. The argument raised by Mr. Zegrens was that 55C3 does not apply to an alternate formula allocation.
That's his argument.
And your view of that statement is what?
That it most certainly does apply.
55C3 applies both to the statutory and the alternative.
Yes. And, Your Honor, if
that is the difference between yourself and your opponent on that proposition.
Yes. And I would say for two reasons there that I could give you, Your Honor. One is the reason he says 0.55 doesn't apply is because it refers to an allocation by the Budget Commission under RC 5747.51. When you read 0.51, 0.51B is the section where the Budget Commission acts. And in 0.51B, it says that the Budget Commission acts after notice, et cetera, pursuant to the statutory formula in later sections of 0.51, unless it has adopted an alternative formula under 0.53. So the action of the Budget Commission under RC 5747.51 applies to both types of formulas.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Mr. Sunderland. Mr. Zegrens, you saved almost 5 minutes of your time.
Thank you, Chief Justice Moyer. May I begin with Justice O'Donnell's question, if it pleases the court? Justice O'Donnell, the statute could not be clearer. The intention of the General Assembly could not be clearer. Section 5747.55 begins with these words, and I quote, "The action of the County Budget Commission under sections 5747.51 and 5747.62 may be appealed to the Board of Tax Appeals in accordance with the following rules." And of course, C3 is obviously one of those following rules. Those two sections are the statutory formula allocation. There is nothing in the language of the General Assembly talking about how to appeal right there in 55 that says anything about alternative formulas.
Why did you then cite 255 when you made your appeals?
Justice Stratton, I'm glad you asked that because I want to correct a statement that Mr. Sunderland made. If the court will look at the notice of appeal, which is set out at appendix pages 40 to 42, now or at your leisure, we never said the appeal is governed by 5747.55C3, never at any time. Did the notice of appeal say that we are governed by those procedural rules? The only reference to subsection 55 is to a different subsection, which is 55D. That principle in 55D is not a procedural requirement. It is the principle of fundamental fairness and due process that says if you haven't been named as a party, you can't have your share allocations reduced.
What would be the rationale for the legislature to set up very strict statutory or alternative methods of funding and yet only require strict appeal rights as to one? What would be the rationale?
The answer lies in the very different nature of the determinations from which the two kinds of appeals are being taken, Justice Stratton. In the former, in appeals from statutory formula allocations, the Budget Commission is supposed to have just followed the statutory formula. It has no discretion, and there's no appealable issue in such appeals other than a calculation error. So the statute requires the appellant to identify with specificity where the error lies, with what subdivision's allocation, by how much, etc. And there is de novo review of that alleged calculation error in the Board of Tax Appeals. On the other hand, an appeal from an alternative formula involves a method of allocation that is, by definition, very different. Alternative formulas are created by agreement of the majority of the participating subdivisions. They're more flexible. They have more factors that the commission is to take into account. And so the Budget Commission's determination is an exercise of discretion, not just a calculation question. There's no purpose in a strict and exacting procedural requirement to apply, as there is to apply a statutory formula, and they'll be reviewed under a much higher abuse of discretion standard. So the difference in purposes is the reason for the difference in what the General Assembly provided by way of appellate procedural requirements. Now, I have to address the allegation that I told you the wrong thing in referring to cases that Mr. Sunderland happened to be involved in. Well, you don't have to have been a lawyer in the case to read the decision. And in Shawnee Township, the decision of this court, and in Union Township, the decision of the 10th District Franklin County Court of Appeals, they made a clear distinction between appeals from statutory formula allocations and appeals from alternative formula allocations. Mr. Sunderland says no one ever before raised this distinction. That is simply incorrect. It was raised in those cases, and it would have been illogical for the courts to have made the decisions turning on that distinction if it didn't make a difference in the procedural requirement. Let me quote from Shawnee Township. The court says, quote, according to 5747.55, subdivisions may appeal the actions of the Budget Commission under the statutory formula allocation to the BTA in the manner and with the effect provided in 5705.37. On the other hand, subdivisions dissatisfied with alternative formula allocations may, according to 5747.53G, appeal to the BTA only for abuse of discretion. That's exactly the distinction that appellants in this case are asking the court to make. That's what this court did in Shawnee Township, and then it applied 55C because that was a statutory formula allocation. Union Township applied 55C because that was a statutory formula allocation once the court determined the alternative formula had not been validly adopted. But they made the distinction, and there was a distinction with a difference. Mr. Sunderland also told you that strict compliance, this was the question that Justice Pfeiffer asked me in my opening argument, strict compliance is the regime under the 1979 decision of this court in City of Cincinnati. In Austintown Township, the court said, the General Assembly has established high jurisdictional hurdles in order to discourage fishing expeditions by municipalities. In the very next paragraph, it said, but where a taxing district alleges in good faith that a budget commission, and then it goes on to recite the procedural requisites that were at issue in that case. So high jurisdictional hurdles, yes, but appeals should not be decided, this court has said, by hyper-technical rules, as the court determined in Buckeye International in 1992 and MCI Telecommunications in 1994, both coming a long time after the case on which Mr. Sunderland relies. Now, he also said that the relief that we are seeking is a hybrid and you can't do it. And Justice Pfeiffer correctly pointed out that that, even if it were true, is a merits determination, not a jurisdictional ground, which is what the Board of Tax Appeals dismissed our appeal on. However, the Board of Tax Appeals in the 2002 case brought by the City of Lorain had a new alternative formula created as the resolution of that appeal. So even if we are seeking some sort of a hybrid in terms of the relief, the Board of Tax Appeals clearly has the authority, as it exercised in its 2002 appeal, to do that. He also said the City of Lorain, he said Lorain County is not overallocated under the old formula. That's not the issue. The issue is whether Lorain County was over-allocated under the new formula that was the result of the 2002 appeal to which the four appellants were never named as parties. That's the issue here. And Justice Pfeiffer, finally, in response to the question that you put to Mr. Sunderland about whether or not the city of Lorain was named, we did name the city of Lorain. It was specifically listed on the schedule and table in Exhibit G, and we identified the exact amount by which the city of Lorain's allocated share was increased over the old formula by the amount of the settlement and resolution of the 2002 appeal. We simply did not identify them as in the column of over-allocated as we did Lorain County, because we felt that that determination, having just 2 months earlier been resolved by the Board of Tax Appeals, was not open for relitigation in this proceeding. I see that my time has expired. If there are no further questions, we again ask the court to reverse the jurisdictional decision, and I thank the court.
Thank you, Mr. Zagrins.
Thank you, Chief
Case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion. Take a brief recess.